like to read from the Bible, and in the end of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, and it's on page 1299, verse 30. John 20 and verse 30. Many other signs, therefore, also Jesus did before his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. And then if we can just look in the first epistle of Peter, and that's on page 1471. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And this is talking about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that we, being dead to sins, may live to righteousness, by whose stripes we have been healed. For ye were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. John's Gospel ends at the very end of the book. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they were written one by one, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books written. I was going to speak about what Jesus has done and what he said, and it'd be a very long preaching. I think if I was to try and cover everything Jesus did and everything he said. And as John says here, that even the world couldn't contain the books. So I thought to speak about just a few things from the Bible that Jesus did and what he said. And it tells us in John, where we read, that many signs Jesus did before his disciples, and he did them that you might believe on his name. Believe on Jesus. So, we think about the Gospel of John. It's a good book to start if you've never read the Bible before. It takes about 2 or 3 hours to read it. If it turns out how fast you read it, but when you read it, you want to read it to understand it. But if you look through the Gospel of John, it tells you some things that Jesus not only did and what he said. And he said a lot of things about who he was. He said things about that. He said, "I am," and then he linked what he was with illustrations, really. And I'll pick a couple of those, perhaps, to talk about as well. But through John's Gospel, I think he's referred to as being "I am something" in there about 23 times. But there are 7 that are unique, and I'm not going to go through each of them. But I'd like to refer to 1 or 2. John chapter 14, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me." So there's something that Jesus said. And what does that mean? It says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said that because he was showing, when he came to this earth, the way that you and I should live, as trusting in him and believing on him and finding life. Why do we need to find life? Well, sadly, because we're all done wrong and we're sinners, life has been taken away because sin has brought about death. And the judgment of sin is death. The Bible tells us that. It's very clear that the sinner must die. There's no question. We're all sinners and we will die. And we'll face death because of sin. But Jesus is one that gives us life. And he gives us life because we need to trust in him for what he's done. Tells us that he is elsewhere, "I am the resurrection and the life." And the things that Jesus did, when you read through John's Gospel, you'll hear about many elements that he was able to have power over. And he was able to have power over illness, I suppose. He was able to have power over nature, the very elements of this world. He was able to calm the seas that were storming. He was able to walk upon the water. He was able to the disciples, when they're in the boat and it was a storm came, he was able to calm the storm and the and the boat was able to, Jesus came onto the boat, Jesus was able to walk on the water and get to the disciples on the boat when they were troubled. So Jesus had power over the very nature and the creation that we live in. Jesus was the Son of God, and he came down from God, and he's gone back to be with God, because Jesus is God himself. Jesus came here as a babe, as God's son, and he was born into this world, and he lived and led his life here. And John's Gospel tells the story of his life when he was a little bit older, and the story of Jesus ended in him laying down his life and dying and being killed and suffering on the cross by the hands of man. And we'll perhaps touch on that later. He had power over evil spirits. He was able to cast out demons, and he was able to heal people like that. It tells us in Mark's Gospel, there was a man that was had a dumb and deaf spirit, it tells us in Mark 9. You don't need to refer to it. And they came to Jesus to see what he could do. And Jesus, having cried out, the demon having cried out and tore him much, he came out when Jesus commanded him to come out. And he became as if dead, so that the most said he is dead. This was a young boy. But Jesus, having taken hold of him by his hand, lifted him up, and he arose. What a wonderful thing that the evil power of Satan and demons, that's what it speaks of, really, the power of Satan that really just completely engulfed somebody's life so much that it had complete control over what they did and how they behaved. And it's an awful power of Satan. And we don't perhaps refer to it today, do we, the power of demons, but you know, they're very real. They're wicked spirits that are there, they're present, and they affect people, and they change people's view on life and how they are and how they behave. Jesus is able to change your life completely so that you're given a new life in his name. And he was able to do that for this person, and this person he was able to lift up by his hand. So Jesus was able to have power over illness, like the blind men that he was able to give sight to, and the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. These were the wonderful miracles and things that Jesus did when he was here. And he did it because he doesn't like to see man suffering. He did it because he wants to show that he loves you, that he cares for you, and he wants you to be blessed. You know, men, women and children all suffer, don't they? There's people that have immense suffering, and people ask, how can God be a God that loves you if he allows these things to happen? But sometimes it requires our circumstances to change us, to make us realise that we need somebody to help us. You know, if we go through life and we think we're strong and we're good and we're able to just fight through our own course, you know, one day God will put something in our way that will stop us. You know, there was Saul in the Bible who later became Paul, and he wrote some of the epistles in the Bible. He was stopped by Jesus when he was on a road which was going to persecute believers that in Jesus. He was going to kill them, he was going to persecute them and put them to death because they believed in Jesus. And Saul was stopped on that road to Damascus by a bright light and God speaking to him, Jesus speaking to him. And Jesus could say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, it stopped Saul absolutely dead, didn't it? And he was a changed man from that moment because he came to know his Saviour. And that's what may happen in your life. It may be some circumstance and something that's blocking you from putting your trust in Jesus. Jesus will speak to you and he'll touch your heart so that you might realise that he loves you and that he wants you to be blessed. And so as a result, just like these examples in the Bible, where when we read of them we see the effect of Jesus on their life, and that effect can happen today by you putting your trust in Jesus. Jesus was a the effects of sin and everything, as I said, results in death. And so we saw that Jesus had power over physical senses that we have. He had power over the spirits that sometimes in sort of embrace our life and affect our life, and he can remove those. He can have power over nature, as we said earlier, but he even had power over death. And I was thinking of Lazarus, who was who died, and he was buried in a tomb, and he'd been in there 3 days. And you know, Jesus says he loved Lazarus, and he loved him so much that he demonstrated his love to those that were around by raising Lazarus from the dead. What a wonderful miracle that was. And he was able to show to Lazarus' sisters that he loved them, and that he loved Lazarus. And he raised Lazarus, and Lazarus was seen by all, and you know, it was a demonstration of the fact that Jesus has power over death. And the reason Jesus has power over death is because he was coming here to lay down his life for you and for me. We read in John's Gospel. I nearly read Isaiah, and perhaps we'll refer to it because it's so it's Peter's epistle, rather. I nearly read Isaiah 53, and if that's a verse in the Bible that would be worth, if you don't know it already, perhaps reading it at some stage. Isaiah 53, from verse 4 to perhaps verse 6. But it's so similar to what Peter wrote many years later. And Peter said about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that, being dead to sins, we might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we have been healed. For we were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Jesus said in John's Gospel that I am the good shepherd. It's another thing that he said, and another thing that he demonstrated about himself, that the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And you know, we're in that illustration, we're sheep that we're going astray and we're wandering off doing our own thing. But Jesus speaks of himself as the shepherd. In the Bible there's lots of references to Jesus being the shepherd. It tells us about the shepherd, it tells us about him being the good shepherd, and it tells us about him being the chief shepherd. You know, and Jesus is all of these things. And he becomes, and the psalmist, of course, tells us about him being my shepherd. And, you know, they're a wonderful thing to know Jesus as your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. You know, that's a wonderful psalm also to read in the Bible. But Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of your soul, it says in Peter's epistle here. And he's the shepherd because he laid down his life for you and for me. He tells us there, whose stripes we've been healed. Now, Jesus was put upon a cross, and it was an awful and terrible death that Jesus suffered. He was beaten. He was beaten with whipped with an awful whip that caused stripes on the back of that was of Jesus. His blood was shed as a result. He was beaten around the head. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They spat upon him. They beat him. You know, what an awful thing what man did. And why did they do that? Why did man hate the Lord Jesus? They hated him, it tells us elsewhere, without a cause. There was no cause for man to hate Jesus, because Jesus loves you, he loves me. But they hated him because Jesus shows us up for being sinners. They hated him because he was perfect, he was holy, he did nothing wrong. And I guess it was the hand of God that he suffered. He was bruised. In Isaiah, doesn't it say, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We regard him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Think about that. God allowed the things that Jesus suffered. They were stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions or sins. He was bruised for our iniquities or wrongdoings. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How are we healed? By the stripes of Jesus. How can somebody that was put on a cross and suffered and beaten, he's then nailed to that cross by his hands and his feet, and he died and gave up his spirit. How is it that can save us? Well, we need to see what Jesus said when he was on that cross. And this is an important statement that the Lord said, if I can find it. John chapter 19, it says, this is when Jesus was on the cross. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, they gave Jesus vinegar because he thirsted, not the kind of drink that would help anybody. And he said, "It is finished," and having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit or died. Before that, I think we referred in our Bible study this afternoon about, he said that, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These are the things that Jesus said. There's many of them, but Jesus said that because all that man tried to do to Jesus, Jesus, in his love, was able to forgive them because he knew he was dying on that cross and laying down his life so that we might live. And all it required was for those men, that even those men that did those awful things to Jesus, and you know, we may have been no different if we'd been alive at the same time. We probably would have been exactly the same, following the great crowd that cried, "Crucify Jesus." You know, but Jesus was able to look at them, and because he loved them, he could say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What they were doing and what God was allowing to happen was Jesus was bearing the sins of every man, woman and child. He bore sin. He dealt with sin and he completely removed sin. And he removed it and demonstrated the fact that he removed it because he demonstrated his ability to rise again from the dead. Jesus was died, his blood was shed, the soldier pierced his side when he was already dead, and it says that blood flowed and water flowed from his side. You know, it's that blood and water that washes your sins, the things you've done wrong. If you put your trust in Jesus, that blood, I can promise you, is sufficient to wash your sins away completely and fully, never to be remembered again, as they'll be washed as white as snow. You know, what a wonderful thing that Jesus' blood can cleanse you completely. And he was then buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later Jesus arose from the dead, demonstrating, it says, God raised him by his glory, God raised him from the dead. And he raised him because Jesus' work was complete. And that's why Jesus could cry, "It is finished," because what he had done in bearing the sins of you and I was the work that God had asked him to do. He laid down his life for you and for me. Jesus suffered the penalty, what judgment God would bring upon us for us being sinners, for my sins. Jesus suffered so that we may never have to face death in that way and suffer in the way that Jesus did. Jesus has taken those sins that you and I have done wrong, and the things that we may still do wrong. As a Christian, we still do things wrong. But the wonderful thing is that you can point to Jesus and point to his blood and know that his blood has cleansed you forever. For not only for the things you've done in the past, things that you may do, but Jesus' blood is sufficient to wash them away. Because Jesus is a wonderful Saviour. And so, we were going astray. We've all gone astray. I've gone astray and we've done things that are wrong. We've said things that are wrong. We've thought things that are wrong. You know, Satan has power over our thoughts and what we do and what we say and how we behave, and yet Jesus is able to bring about a greater power, and he gives us a greater power when you become a believer, because he gives us his own spirit, spirit of the Father. It comes into everybody that trusts in Jesus, so that you might have the same power to of an indwelling of God himself. God is a spirit, and that spirit can dwell in us as believers, as trusting in him. And so we were going astray as sheep, and we're now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our soul. And that's a wonderful scripture, I think, because that tells us a shepherd will look after sheep and make sure they're kept safe forever. All the time the shepherd's looking after the sheep. And that's what Jesus does for you and for me. He takes care of you. He takes care of you. He's done everything to secure your life forever by you trusting in him and believing on him. But he will take care of you as a Christian. He'll take care of you and follow you and lead you and help you and direct you. He's an overseer of your soul. Jesus is the one that wants your soul, wants you to give your soul to him, wants you to give your life to him. And then Jesus will look after that life. And one day, Jesus will take you to be with him forever. What a wonderful Saviour will be. It tells us in the Bible that we'll be called up to be with Jesus, and we'll see him face to face. It tells us in the Bible, and we didn't read it, but there was just before the passage we read at the end of John, Thomas had seen the Lord after he'd risen from the dead, and Thomas wouldn't believe that Jesus had been raised. You know, many people try and tell the story and make up a story that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. You know, but it's not true, because so many people saw Jesus. So many people pray to Jesus today. So many people know Jesus as their own personal Saviour. Many in this room I know love Jesus and pray to Jesus and speak to Jesus. He is alive. He is my Saviour. But Thomas didn't believe unless he saw Jesus, and he said he wouldn't believe unless he saw the hands and the side where Jesus, the nails had been put in and the spear had been put in the side of Jesus. And when Thomas saw, he realised that it was truly Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is. It's when your eyes are opened and you realise that Jesus really died for you and he saved you. And that's what believing is all about. It's realising suddenly, it's like a light coming on, you suddenly realise that Jesus died for you and he shed his blood for you and he wants you to be saved and he wants you to love you. And that's what Jesus offers in the gospel, is for you to believe on him and trust him and accept him for what he did. And so Thomas, having seen Jesus, having seen that it was truly him, his Saviour, he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus then said, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed." And so today, the gospel is, I tell you about Jesus, and I can't show you Jesus, I can't point to him as such, and you can't physically see him. He's not on this earth anymore, he's in heaven, he's ascended on high. But we believe Jesus because we know it in our heart, but we also believe because God has given us the faith that is the ability to accept something, accept the word of God, accept God at his word, that what he's promised he's also able to do. And so the gospel is preached in faith that you might believe it. And faith is something that God gives you to allow you to accept his word. And so if you'll simply accept Jesus at his word, it tells us here that it's blessed for those that, having not seen Jesus, we still believe. And so tonight, everyone in this room that believes on Jesus has done it through faith. And Jesus tells us that we're blessed. And you are blessed as trusting in Jesus, as knowing as your Saviour. And it's no different to what the disciples, having lived with Jesus and seen the love that he showed. Things that John wrote about, and I really think John's a wonderful gospel to read. And if you haven't read it already, open your Bible and read it, perhaps for the first time, because it's so important. These things that you read in John's gospel are written that you might believe. The things that Jesus did and he said are such as a witness that you might believe. I've said a few things, I've pointed a few things in the Bible about what Jesus has done. I can't tell you everything, I'd be here all night telling you about Jesus, and I don't think I'd be able to. But the wonderful thing is, what Jesus has done, if you can simply accept him at his word, if you'll believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth, you know, you'll be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. So trust in Jesus tonight. He loves you, he wants you to be blessed, and is willing and able to bless you tonight. Just trust him for his name's sake. Amen.